So we can begin again this afternoon by sinking back into an upright body. For a few moments, taking a break from our obsessive conceptual mind, from all the complicated stuff, the teachings, for a few moments taking a break of that, coming to rest with what is. Making some space in the mind, settling it into a state of ease and tranquility. We can recognize how our mind expands as we let our awareness descend throughout the body, widening our mind, becoming fully aware of tactile sensations throughout our body. This way, creating this state of equilibrium, finding a balance of total relaxation of body and mind, but simultaneously being very alert and attentive, fully aware of whatever happens in the body and mind. You know, when we start to work with the mind, we have to be aware that our mental suffering, our mental confusion can only be reduced through adopting the correct mental perspective. The more we are able to settle into a correct mental perspective, one that is in accordance with how things exist, the more we will be equipped to deal with our mental afflictions and disturbing mind states. This is the only way our mental suffering can be reduced. It cannot be solved by wealth or possessions, by medication or any external thing. Also not through grasping at new fantastic ideas, but only through a basic development of understanding. Understanding the nature of our own mind, how things come into existence, and seeing the way our mind perceives reality. If we can adopt the right understanding with this, then in this way we can be of such amazing benefit to this world, can truly make a positive change in how we relate to ourselves and others. Bringing positivity into this world based on our own knowledge, wisdom, understanding reality. So we are going to do a meditation on emptiness this afternoon. And we are going to do so through thorough investigation, logical analysis. And since again this meditation takes some time and I don't want to interrupt your investigation process through a break, if you really have to change your position, please do so in your own time, silently, but don't lose your train of thought, staying mindful with your investigation, with your analysis. So I invite you to follow me into this and try to follow these points with all your attention so you can get the best possible experience out of it. So at the beginning of this meditation we recall the reason why we engage in this kind of analysis, this investigation into emptiness. And it is based on the teaching of the Buddha that the way we perceive the nature of reality now is a misconception. Especially our own personal experience of the way our I exists. This misconception of our own sense of I is the main cause for our dissatisfaction. So we suffer under the confusion not seeing things correctly, but instead we see things opposed to the way they actually exist. So with the wish to eliminate this wrong view, we engage in this analysis. Engaging in this analysis that we are empty of an inherently existent I. So the first step is to identify what it is exactly that we are empty of. Yeah, this is called the object to be refuted. That which is not actually there, even if it appears to be so. It is the I that we merely impute on our body and mind, but we feel it exists from its own side, without being dependent on anything else. So we want to see this very clearly. And in order to get a taste now of our own sense of me, you can start by recalling a time in your life, or maybe a specific incident, where you experienced this very strong sense of self. And maybe at a time when you had strong fear. Maybe when you got falsely accused. Or when you have been very embarrassed about something. Recall a situation like this where you could strongly feel this sense of me, where this I was very present. Bring this to mind vividly, seeing this is me. So without trying to recreate the situation, just establish that sense of self you had at this time when it was very prominent in your mind, the sense of I, me. And while you are attending closely to this sense of I, check how it appears to you. Does it appear to be a single self, this I, that inherently exists? Does it feel very real to you? So real almost to the point where you think, if that is not real, what is? Keep going back to your experience until it appears very vividly in your mind and you feel you got that, this sense of I. So having a clear feeling of this me, the next step is to say, well, if such an I exists, if this self-established me exists, then I should be able to find it, to locate it. It seems to be real to have this mode of existence. So what are the possibilities? Where can I find this I? And one is pretty obvious. We feel this sense of I exists together with the body and the mind. That is the first possibility. But logically, we also have to include the possibility that this sense of I is not one with the mind and body, but something different from them. So see if you can come to the conclusion that there are only these two possibilities. Either this I is one with the body and the mind, or some part of them, or it is totally different, totally something else. Try to see that there is no third possibility than these two. And then let us analyze the first possibility. Can we find this I among the body and mind? We will look for this I and also take a look at the consequences if it were one with the body and mind. So begin this by mentally going through the body, this seemingly unitary object, and see that the body has many parts, and empirically search, where is this I, this sense of me? Check if it's the whole body in its entirety, or is it one of the parts? Is it your brain, your head? Is it your heart, or another part of the body? Check carefully all your body parts and closely analyze if you can find the I there. Again, refreshing the sense of I that you have experienced in your remembered occasion. It feels very real and unitary. So what among the body and its parts can you find to be that self? is there anything that is physical that is this inherently existent I? Check thoroughly. You see, there are many parts of the body we can go through, but it is likely we are not going to find the eye on these parts, or even in all the parts in total. So now then, move on to the mind. And the mind also has many parts. The parts of feeling, discriminations, mental formations, the consciousness, all of them constantly changing moment by moment. So again, think of that inherently existent I, that sense of self, which is self-established. Is it consciousness? Is it awareness in total? Or is it a specific part of your consciousness? The mental consciousness? Or maybe one of the sense consciousnesses? Or is it a specific factor in your mind? A specific feeling? A certain discrimination? Check carefully, spending some time trying to find that self-existent I, recalling how it feels in the experience you remembered in the beginning. Can you find it being the mind or a part of the mind? Can you find it there? In this ever-changing flow of mind, we cannot locate this I. We cannot find it. So having investigated both the body and the mind to some degree, and not having found this inherently existing I to exist there, we might still believe that there is something that it is. We might feel that it is the collection of the mind and the body, the whole thing together, that consists of these parts. But is there a whole, unitary thing, a collection that exists in this independent way that it appears? Isn't a collection simply a number of parts put together? A number of mental and physical components gathered together. Where is this collection of mind and body? Can you point to it? How can it be the inherently existent sense of I? We could also check for a while what consequences it would have if this would be so. Again, recalling this strong sense of I, we feel it as something unitary, like a single entity. It appears in this way. So if it were a single entity, well, we would have to see that the body and mind are two different entities, one physical and one mental. So if the self were one with the body and mind, they would have to be one thing, and not at all different. Otherwise, we would have two eyes, one physical and one mental eye. But that doesn't make sense at all, and also it doesn't feel that way, does it? Or if the I would be one with one of them, we could never feel a sense of I with the other. It would be purely physical or purely mental, without the possibility to feel I for the other. Can you see that this would be the consequences if the inherently existent I were to be found on the body and mind? So having analyzed that the I is not one with the body and mind, this first possibility, let's look at the second one for a brief time. The I being totally separate from the body and mind, completely different. If this were the case, we should be able to remove our mind and body and still be left with a self that we would feel there, totally distinct from the body and mind. So do that. Mentally remove your body and mind from the cushion you're sitting on. Does such an I remain? Is it findable there? And furthermore, if that would be so, whatever the body and mind would experience, the I could not experience it, because it is separate from them. So when your knees hurt, the self would not experience this pain. The inherently existent I would not feel the pain in the body and the frustration in the mind. Is that the case? Does such an I exist separate from the body and mind? Remember that these are the two only possibilities that this real I can exist, either with or separate from the mind and body, or the collection of their parts. Did you find such an I to exist in either way? If not, there is no third possibility. We must come to the conclusion that the I that appears so real does not exist in this way. It is empty. It appears to be real, but that is a false appearance. So we don't say it does not exist. It does exist. But it exists only merely labeled by the mind. It is only mentally imputed on the body and mind. This I is a mental label. This I that seems totally real from its own side is unfindable. to believe that this inherently existing me is there is not valid. It is a wrong consciousness. Try to feel its absence. Realize it being empty from existing from its own side. This I that appears to exist independent of other things is a hallucination, total hallucination. It is a mental construct, a label put on this basis of body and mind. So it does exist, but not as it appears to exist. It is merely imputed, merely labeled. That's it. It's not more than that. See if this holds true for you. For a few more moments, concentrating single-pointedly on this experience. And whatever positive potential we created through this analysis, whatever shift there might be in your awareness, however slight, may this blossom into a full realization of emptiness, the removal of your own ignorance, and all that obscures your mind from reaching its own full potential. May this imprint be made and flourish into a full realization of reality, so we can be of greatest benefit, spontaneously, most effectively benefit every single sentient being and help them to realize the same.